Blog Talk Radio.
October 27th, 2014, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday once again to you. I hope that there is some bright sunshine wherever you are. And even if you don't see it, can't see it right now because of clouds or rain or whatever, eventually the sun does come peeking through. Yeah, it does. That's the good news. So keep looking up and keep your eyes to the sky. The sun will come out tomorrow. No, I did not just try to sing, but yeah, I know this is a song and it is an optimistic point of view towards our tomorrow. So yes, keep looking up. Well, you know, it's always been said that knowledge is power, and I certainly believe that. I believe in education at all levels because I believe that knowledge and understanding can take you far and high. It has its own way of being one of our best and greatest assets, and my guest today has many great ideals when it comes to education and inspiring learning. For many years, he's been dedicated to others by helping them achieve their educational needs and goals. His organization is Knowledge First. They provide opportunities in the areas of adult literacy, tutoring, dropout prevention, high school credit recovery, and after-school programs. He is here with me to tell us more about the impact that he is making, and I'd like to welcome to the Foxology stage today Mr. James Allen. Welcome, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you very much.
You are so welcome. So glad to have you here today. You're a part of a wonderful endeavor and an important cause and movement in the area of education, and I tell you, I think if there were any areas where society needed to focus more emphasis and money and effort, it would be education. And it would be primarily in one of the areas where you are working. I think it's a place where there is a critical need, and I'm glad to see that there are so many soldiers on the battlefield working in that area to young people get their needs met in these areas and to get focused back on life and the important things for their future and for their success. So I'd like to start by asking you about your initial effort to get this program launched. Were you an educator prior to launching Knowledge First?
Yes, ma'am. I actually began right out of college. I guess I was one of the fortunate ones. I sort of knew what direction I wanted to go, and I became a teacher right out of college, and I actually taught music, and I taught music on the elementary level and on the high school level. And because I was concerned about how, you know, the impact that I played on my students, I wanted to expand that, so I became an assistant principal so I could help other teachers to enjoy the success and the ability to inspire students to their greatness, you know, that I was having. And so I was an assistant principal up to the year of 2000. I worked in the HISD school system, and my last assignment was at James D. Ryan Middle School there in the Third Ward. And after leaving the school district, I decided I wanted to play a role in my own setting, and so I developed my own after-school program, and we became a nonprofit organization.
That is extraordinary. So what is it that compelled you? That's a wonderful story. What compelled you? What did you see that inspired you to want to bring a uniqueness to a program of your own? Usually that's one of the inspirations behind most endeavors. You see something that you would like to maybe bring a spin on or a twist of some sort, or definitely, you know, have it meet your particular, again, ideals of what you feel about education. What was it that inspired you?
Well, first of all, I was always one to believe that I was important in terms of helping the students to learn. And I mean that to say, instead of blaming the student or the environment for the lack of success, I felt that it was necessary for me as a teacher to find ways to inspire. You know, whether I need to change my vocabulary, do I need to bring in some pictures, do I need to bring in some speakers? You know, I wanted to create an environment that would inspire the students to want to learn. I was one to say, I'll use an example. Oftentimes we find, as assistant principal, when I was evaluating teachers, you know, all of the teachers had rules and regulations in their classrooms. You know, every room has their 10 rules and regulations. But how many of the teachers have a set of incentives and rewards? And I would say to them, I said, you know, instead of choosing to punish, per se, students for not doing the right thing, why not reward them for doing the right thing? And they would look at me, they'd say, well, they're supposed to do the right thing. I say, but still, you know, you come to work every day and you're rewarded with a paycheck. You know, how about rewarding students for being on time? I'll give an example. They'd say, what do you mean? I say, okay. You find students outside, they wait until the toilet bell rings before they rush into the classroom. Well, when I was in the classroom, I would have 5 questions on the board, easy questions to answer. And when the toilet bell rang, I would erase all of the questions. I mean, they may be, I mean, real simple questions. Just, you know, what did you do last night? You know, what do you like to eat? What do you plan on doing with your life? You know, things that they could answer. And so these questions, once the students turn their papers in, they could use these as bonus points for a lower grade. So I was trying to show them that if they would come in, sit down, do the work prior to the tardy bell, that they could receive bonus points for a future grade. And so I rewarded kids for coming in the classroom, sitting down, rather than not providing an avenue to promote that kind of behavior. You see,
so it was really excellent.
Yeah, but see, you have to look for those kinds of opportunities. You know, unfortunately now, you know, it's almost like we think we can do enough negative reinforcement to provide a positive. I love math in school, and I would tell my teachers, well, how many negatives can you have before you get a positive? And they would scratch their heads and say, well, none. And I say, that's absolutely right. You know, until you start implementing positive reinforcement, until you start rewarding good behavior, when you reward good behavior, then that behavior is going to be contagious. But simply just to, you know, punish bad behavior is really not the way to go. And so that's what really drove me to say, hey, look, I need to get out on my own. I need to create an environment. And so because we work with students who actually have had personal hardships, we've had students who have not been successful in the public or otherwise private schools. But see, often these students have or in environments that produce this type of behavior. And I understand that. And, you know, even the students who are sagging, even the students, because what they're only really trying to do is get our attention. They're really trying our attention. They really are. And, you know, we may say, well, I'm going to punish you, but that's not really getting their attention. That's why it doesn't work. I have students who, before they came to Knowledge First, it was a rites of passage for them to get a ticket, for them to create havoc in the classroom. It was a rite of passage. You know, unfortunately, some of our young girls now, because of the lack of, you know, that male stimulus, positive male stimulus, you know, they're having babies just to feel loved, you see. So we have to find ways of satisfying not just their emotional needs, because that's a humanistic need. You know, again, and as a sister principal, when I would do my workshops with my teachers, I said, look, stand at your doors, greet the students, let them know how important they are. And then I would turn around and give the example. Guys, just think about it. If you don't tell your wife or your significant other that they look good in the dress they have on, they're going to go out and buy another one. And now you're going to be upset. But if you had simply said to them, hey, honey, you sure look good today, you look nice today in that dress, then she wouldn't feel that she'd have to go buy one. But if you don't tell her she looks good, then, oh, trust me, she shall. She'll get her nails done, hair done, dress, and all of the same way with the kids. If we satisfy that emotional need, then they will sit in their seats and they will do, you know, as I did. I wasn't smart because I wanted good grades. I was smart because I didn't want to be a reflection to my parents. I didn't want to be a negative reflection. I wanted to honor them because they loved us, because the teachers took a lot of time with us. So I wanted to honor that time, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to get, that we have to get back to that. Go ahead.
Yes. Those are some very excellent points that you're making, and I'm on total agreement, on the same page with you, except for the one thing, the analogy about the dresses. I think you may have the female psyche a little bit wrong. We're going to go out and buy some more dresses if you tell us that. But anyway, with that being said, I want to go back to the current paradigm in education, because you told me why you stepped out of it, and I think that's really, really awesome. Much of that paradigm is still in place because, of course, there's so many interesting dynamics in the lives of children right now that I think many educators feel that the only way they can gain control in the classroom is by having set rules to create the order that they feel they need that's there. I know even recently in some conversations I've had that many of them do feel a kind of, I won't call it helplessness, but don't see really how they can make some of the things that you've said work. They kind of feel like there's such a disengagement with students overall that even to attempt that. Now, I personally think that that's wrong. I think that if you put it out there, you want to be excited about those who do take that bait and say, this is a great opportunity. And, you know, if you make it very interesting and appealing to kids, they're going to do it just like what you did, and they're in the reward. But what do you feel as education in the, you know, the big societal public school system, what do you think it's going to take for us to have a shaking and an awakening about how things need to really literally change? I know it's been on my mind for a number of years, but there has to be a revamping, a total renovation, I believe, of current strategies for teaching children. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Let me say it like this. First of all, I was in education in the public schools for 20 years. And where I ended up philosophically is not how I started. I started out the same way that many teachers do. I felt that I had to be in charge. I felt that if I told you to sit down in this seat, this is the seat that you had to sit in. And as I matured in my teaching, and really, like I said, see, I took it personal. If a student failed, I looked at what can I do to help that child. If my class failed, and I would tell my teachers as assistant principal, if your class, if you have 60% of your class failing, then that means you weren't successful. Your report card is the same report card as the student. See, I took it personal. See, first, so you mm-hmm. have to personalize this thing, you see. The second thing is, mm-hmm. I have to use a couple of examples. Let me give you this first example. Again, as a music teacher, my students had to sit up straight and tall. And I have to say to them, sit up straight and tall, sit up straight and tall, sit up straight and tall. You know, they sit up and then they slump down, sit up and slump down. So, I was in the age where we walked around with our grade book. So instead of just one day, I don't know what inspired me to do so, but I looked at the young lady, I said, you know, Jackie, I love the way you're sitting so straight and tall. You know, instead of concentrating on the negative, I found one student. I said, you know something, let me give you some bonus points just for sitting straight and tall. And as I did so and looked around the room, everyone, here's my hand, everyone sat straight and tall. And from there on, that was an awakening for me. I started from that point on looking for the positive. And it dawned back on me when I was in sixth grade, earth science, I only remember one thing the guy said, accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Accentuate the positive to eliminate the negative. And that's what we have to do. We have to look for that one or two students who are, because there are a couple that are going to be doing the right thing. But we don't give them the attention. You see, again, when the students are misbehaving, it's attention-getting behavior. They have not been satisfied emotionally, and so they're trying to get attention. But if you give the attention mm-hmm. to the students who are doing well, then that will increase the other students.
Yes.
And so I'm just saying, let me give one more example. Again, now I'm in high school. Now, you have to understand, I taught inner-city school students, those students who, you know, don't do very well often. So, but as a professional, they were going to learn the same songs as all of the other students. We sang Caro Mio Ben, Se Ben Crudele, Vergine Tutto Amore. There were three songs that we sang each and every day. Those students would, and I use the word loosely, fight me. Of course, they wasn't physical, but, you know, they didn't want to do it. They said, oh, Mr. Dad, I don't want to sing today. I don't want to sing today. But we sang it every day. Caro mio ben, se ben crudele, vergine tu tuo amor. Each and every day we sang that song. And I would tell them afterwards, you all are doing so well. You are doing so wonderful. You are doing so wonderful. You're doing so well. I'm very proud of you. Because at first, you know, they really, you know, of course, they struggled because this was a foreign language. So finally, the second grading period, I was notorious for being behind on my grades. It was time for my report cards. And I said, hey, look, students, you have done so well. I'm so proud of you. But today, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you an off day. I want you to please sit quietly and talk with your neighbors, because Mr. Allen's got to get his report cards in, and the principal is getting upset. Hands started going in the air, Silver. True story. But Mr. Allen, it's my turn to sing today. Mr. Allen, it's my turn to sing today. Mr. Allen, it is my turn to sing today. I sat back in my chair, could not believe it. They had finally internalized it, wanted to sing, and even more so, didn't even want me to know they were enjoying it. I couldn't believe it.
How cool is that?
I'm serious. And so, you know, I've never been the same. I've never been the same. You see, and so I say to any teacher who thinks that they just have to consequences and rather than the rewards, you know, you're really missing out on a great opportunity, because all of us want to be empowered. See, it really comes from this inner need of feeling empowered. The teachers now, you know, for whatever reasons, and that's another conversation, you know, they're not feeling the degree of quote-unquote power that they think they need to feel. And I'm one to believe that when you give power away, that's the true sign of power, is the ability to give it away. If you feel you have to hold on to it, you really are not as powerful as you just want to be. And now you have a situation where you have, you know, between you, a struggle between you and the students, you see.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let me ask you a couple of things because we have about 6 or 7 minutes and we'll have to wrap up. You obviously are a very inspiring leader, and I just commend you for the way you think and the way you're putting forth your endeavor with such great passion and purpose. I commend you for that. Let's just talk briefly about your programs that you offer. I know you're always in need of additional support, so tell us a little bit about those programs. Tell people how they can get involved. And certainly this program is not just Houston-based. It's an internet program, so people can hear you from lots of places. But let people know if they would like to provide any kind of assistance or guidance or other individuals they think that they can help as far as financial support. So tell us about the programs and then tell people how to get hold of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Silva, for that. We are a nonprofit organization, 501c3. Our website is www.knowledge-first.org. knowledge-first.org. And currently, we are accredited. That's one of the most important things. We have an accredited K-12 program where students right now who are in high school who have fallen behind on their credits, they come to us after school, like an evening school. They get those credits, and we send those credits back to the high school so they can graduate on time. You know, nowadays, if you don't have all your credits, you don't march across the stage. You know, it used to be when I was in school, you could march, graduate in the summer, but you could at least march across. Now, if you don't have all your credits, you don't march. And so it's really put a burden on the family. Secondly, our other program is for those students who are overaged. You know, I have students who are, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, still in the ninth grade. And so, you know, the schools already know that they are not going to be successful. So they basically, you know, don't let them return. They say, well, listen, we really don't want you coming back. So those students come to Knowledge First. And so they come to us. They transfer from their high school to us. We provide those credits, and then they graduate. They can still graduate with a high school diploma. We have graduates as old as, actually, maybe as young as 45 last year. We had a grandfather who said he wanted to come back and get his high school diploma for his grandson because he felt it was important for him to complete it if he's going to enforce the fact that he wanted his grandson to complete his high school diploma. So we do have needs. You know, right now we need computers. You know, it doesn't have to be new computers, but if a major corporation was just upgrading and they could see their way to, you know, provide us some computers, you know, that would really, really help us out. You know, the materials, pens, paper, we provide those for the students because they have limited resources. And so, you know, our area has really embraced us. It's really taken off, but we could really, really need some help. You know, we really could use some help.
Well, that certainly is not a hard thing to do or even a big request for people who have a benevolent heart and spirit or corporation to do that kind of thing all the time. And I will definitely be instrumental in making sure I put that information out for you. Go ahead and, again, mention the website address, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up.
All righty. Again, we're Knowledge First Empowerment Center. You can find us on the website at www.knowledge-first.org. Our phone number is 281-499-8315. Again, that's 281-499-8315. And if you go to the website, of course, you'll see more information about us, some of the things we're doing, our adult literacy project, you know, as well as the after-school dropout prevention and our accredited program. So we do appreciate you, Silver, for allowing us this opportunity.
And I thank you very much for being my special guest today. Such an extraordinary effort you're making. And, again, I commend you and congratulations for it. All right, friends, I have been talking to Mr. James Allen. He is the mastermind behind Knowledge First. It's a wonderful program, an organization that's offering a variety of programs for those who are seeking additional learning opportunities in education to meet needs and future goals. He has programs such as dropout prevention, adult literacy, tutoring, high school credit recovery, and other after-school programs. I hope that you will check them out. And if you are in a position where you can help, please, please go ahead and do that. Many people have the connections that can help schools like this, organizations like this, get the financial assistance and computers and other materials that he mentioned that he needs. So please do that. And also let me thank you, while I have a couple of minutes, again, for being a part of Foxology today. And I'm going to ask again if you would encourage your social media friends to tune in and see what I'm doing from week to week. It's always something that's going to be enlightening, empowering, or educational in some way, fashion, or form, because I do it with that purpose in mind. Thank you so much again for tuning in. I hope you have the most amazing day, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again next time.